Okay, that's chapter 6 of the book of John. And so last time we looked at the book of John, it's been a couple of weeks ago. We're continuing on with our series in the book of John. And but the last time we looked at John, we talked about how Jesus is greater than all because he shows a greater work, he shows a greater word, and he shows a greater witness. That's what we talked about the last time we talked about it. His claim of being the Son of God, his claim of being Lord of all, is shown in these different things. And we talked about his greater work was shown in this instance by his healing of the man at the pool of Bethesda. We discussed that. And remember in John 5:6, we talked about he asked the guy who had been in infirmity for the last 38 years, that he asked him if he wanted to be made well. And the guy couldn't even answer yes or no. He just says, well, I don't have anybody to take me and put me in the pool. And that's not what Jesus asked him. He asked him if he wanted to be made well. After laying there paralyzed for 38 years, the guy couldn't even answer yes or no on this. And so what ended up happening is Jesus just looked at him and he said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And what did the man do? Well, he rose and he took up his bed and he walked. But the problem was, the problem with the Jews and the Pharisees was that Jesus did this on the Sabbath. And on the Sabbath, you can't, there's laws. You can't carry anything. And so then the Pharisees, they come and ask the man about this and we talked about that he had this greater work, and then when they confronted Jesus about why did he do this, well, he told him, he says, my Father's been working until now, and I have been working. And what he was saying, and I have been working. So he's saying that because I'm doing my Father's work, that I need to do that kind of work whenever it's needed to be done. So he showed his deity. He showed the fact that he was the Son of God. He showed his lordship because of his work. And we also talked about his greater word because it was with his word, rise up and take up your bed and walk, that the man was healed. You know, it was with Jesus' word that he did this. It is with his word that he controls life. It says in John 5:26, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And it is with his word that he controls judgment. It says in 5:27, that God has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. So it's with his word that he controls the resurrection. We read in John 5:28-29. It said that, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. And we also talked about how he had a greater witness, and his greater witness came from the testimony and the witness of John the Baptist. It came through the testimony and the witness of his work. It came from the testimony and witness of God, his Father, and through the witness that's given in the Scripture about him. So it's because of these things that he is greater than all. And now this week we're starting basically a sub-series in this book of John. And what we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks as we close out the book of John, we're going to be looking at the I Am series, the I Am sayings. And there's a series of sayings where Jesus talks about, he says, I am. And we see this. Remember when Moses asked God, when God commanded Moses to go and free his people, God said, well, who am I to tell him is coming? You said, you tell him I am coming. You tell him, I am is coming. And we see Jesus start to do the same thing here in the book of John as he starts going through these things. And this week, we're going to look at where he talks about I am the bread of life. We're going to look at that in chapter 6. And we're going to start by looking at that. Next week we're going to be looking at I am the light, where he says that I am the light. And we're going to keep going through this till we get to the end of John, because there's about 7 of these, and it's just so good to hear this, to hear what God is, to hear Him pronounce to the world and to these people who He is. He says, I am. It's just like when God pronounced to Moses, you tell them I am is coming. When they ask you who's coming, you tell them you do this under the authority of I am, of the great I am. And now we have Jesus doing this same thing. He's doing just like His Father taught. So we're going to look at John chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 1 through 14 first, and then we're going to look at the rest of this chapter, look at some other stuff in this chapter. But I want you to see this in this miracle of feeding the multitude, how Jesus is the bread of life. So let's read, starting in verse 1 of chapter 6, and let's stand for the reading of God's Word. So in chapter 6 of the book of John, starting in verse 1, it says this. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed Him. A great multitude followed Him, because they saw His signs which He performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up His eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward Him, He said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this He said to test Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for that every one of them may have a little. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Him, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. And now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, He said to His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost. Therefore they gathered them up, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. This is God's Word. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You speak to us through it. And we ask You, Father, to open our hearts to what You have to teach us today. Show us that You are the bread of life, Father. We know that You are the bread of life, and we ask You, Father, to fill us with Your Word. Thank You, God, for loving us. Thank You for saving us. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, so I know all we read here was verses 1 through 14, but like I said, understand here, we're looking at what Jesus means when He says in 6:35, when he says here in verse 6:35, it says, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to Me shall never hunger, and he who believes in Me shall never thirst. So to get at this, at His meaning here, what He's meaning here, and when He says that He's the bread of life, what I want us to do, I want us to look at this feeding of the 5,000. And at the same time in this morning, I want us to ask ourselves 3 questions. And the first question is this: are you being fed? Are you being fed? And for us to answer that question, we've got to do a number of things to be able to understand if we're being fed. And one of the things we've got to do is we've got to concentrate
on what he says here. When we read this story, when we read about this miracle that Jesus is doing here, you notice right away that the disciples are like, they don't really understand what's going on here. Because when they think of hunger, and when we think of hunger, sometimes we think of a physical hunger. We think that when it comes to feeding, we think of physically feeding. What are we going to eat? Because I know when we leave church today, everybody's going to get lunch somewhere, right? If it's a peanut butter and banana sandwich, or if it's something at a restaurant somewhere, I don't know. I might want a peanut butter and banana sandwich.
We're not talking about a physical feeding here. We're talking about being spiritually fed. We're talking about being filled with what Jesus has got for us. And to understand that, one of the things we've got to do is we've got to concentrate on what he says. And what he says here is, it says Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing that great multitude, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" So we see Jesus looking up and seeing all these people that come to hear and preach and that have followed him here to see his miracles. And he asked this question of Philip, "Where do we get this? Where can we get food to feed these 5,000 people?" And Jesus doesn't ask this question because he doesn't know. He's asking it to test Philip to see how he is going to respond. Jesus already knows what he's going to do. It says, we read that right there in verse 6, that he said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. He's asking him this question to see how he's going to do it. Because there's really no physical way to feed all these people. You know, you got 5,000. Just so you know, we're going to talk about it in a minute. In Matthew, the book of Matthew, he writes about this same miracle. And you find out there's more than 5,000 people. There's 5,000 men. But it also says in Matthew that with them were women. So it could have been up to 15,000 people. Well, they're out of town, and they're not anywhere. They're outside of town. First off, they're outside of town, so it ain't like they can just run down to the Dollar General and pick up a couple loaves of bread and some tuna fish. You know, it ain't like that. And then also, they don't even have the money to do this. So it's a rhetorical question. Jesus is asking Philip this question just to see how he responds. And it's a question that's meant to test Philip. It's like this. When the Son of God asks you a question, you need to concentrate on what he's asking. You need to concentrate on what he's saying. And you also need to concentrate on what God can do. Because what can God do? Well, he writes in... John writes in 1:3, we've already covered this. It says, "All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created." So that means he can do pretty much whatever he wants to do, right? If nothing was created without him, then he can do pretty much what he wants to do. When God calls us to do his work, we need to concern ourselves with the how, we need to concern ourselves with the when, we don't need to concern ourselves with the word how. We need to concern ourselves with the when and the who and the where and where we're going to do this. When God pushes us to do his work for him, we need to concentrate on what he's saying. We need to listen to him and see what he's saying and see what direction that he's telling us to go to. And you know, when obstacles come up in our path or distractions, we need to avoid those, and we need to concentrate once again. That's why we got to concentrate when it comes. Sometimes when God tells us to do so, sometimes I think what happens is we hear God's call. We realize that he's telling us to do something, but we kind of push it to the side because, one, we don't want to do it, right? Because it might be a little more work than we want to put into it. And also, we don't want to listen to what he's telling us to do. We just want to do that. And lots of times when these obstacles and distractions get in the way, we kind of avoid it. Because we're not listening to what God wants us to do. We're not concentrating on what he wants us to do. But we just need to concentrate on him and be fed by his word. We need to pray that we're being fed.
is what that we need to do. So not only do we need to concentrate on what he says, we need to concern ourselves with his instructions. In verses 8 through 10, we read about where it says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? And, you know, you got to wonder what Jesus thinks of that when he's sitting there saying that. He's just kind of, you know, we've got this right here, but I don't know what that's going to do either. He's talking to the Son of God. He's talking to the creator of the universe. And he says, I don't know how we're going to do anything with this. Wonder how, nothing like downgrading Jesus to his face, right? And we see this guy doing this. But if we just, this multitude, but that's not what Jesus is telling when we need to concern ourselves with his instructions. Because like I said a while ago, Matthew writes about this same miracle, about this same incident. And Jesus tells the disciples in the book of Matthew, they don't, because I'll tell you what happens. In Matthew, we read that the disciples tried to tell Jesus to tell them to go away. And Jesus tells the disciples, he says, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. You know what Jesus is doing right now? Church, he's telling us to give the people something to eat. And when I say something to eat, now, yeah, we're fixing to start doing this new ministry, this food pantry ministry. But the fact is, Jesus doesn't want us to just give food to people. He wants us to give him to people. He wants us to give his gospel to people. Amen. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to share our story about Jesus with them. I told, we had a meeting about this new food pantry ministry a couple weeks ago, and some of y'all were there, but not everybody. I want to tell you something. I have prayed so hard about this ministry. And I told everybody last Tuesday night, I said, you know, as Johnny Hunt used to say something I used to love all the time. He said, you can't see it till you can see it. He's talking about vision. And y'all, I can see it. I can see these cars lined up all the way around this church to pick up those food boxes. And all of y'all, next to all these cars, sharing the gospel. Giving them something other than food. Listening to God's instruction on how to share his word. But Jesus tells them they don't need to go away. He says, you give them something to eat. And that's what we've got to do, church. That's us. We've got to do that. We just got to concentrate. We just got to concern ourselves with God's instruction on that. When we see here in 8 and 9 of this text, Andrew comes up with this boy who actually thought to bring something to eat that day. Probably his mama packed him a lunch and brought it with him. You know, and he says that the boy has 5 loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? And you know, like I said a while ago, that's just a great vote of confidence for the Son of God, right? For him to say that to his face. But, you know, you got to understand, when God tries to feed us or tries to lead us to do his work, we need to concern ourselves with instructions. We don't need to concern ourselves with if we can do it with what we have. He'll provide the means. We don't need to concern ourselves with the fact if we can afford it. He'll take care of that too. We don't need to concern ourselves with, am I knowledgeable enough to do this work that God has called me to? You know, God trains the called. You know, I'm going to talk about this. When Lynn first talked to me about this new Bible study that him and Isaac are going to do, and Isaac just announced just a minute ago, you know, it would be so easy to say, I'm not, because you know what, I'm going to tell y'all, in front of everybody, you know why you're doing that? It wasn't some idea you had. Holy Spirit told you to do it. God called you to that. You know, God calls us to a lot of things, but we just don't listen or we decide we're not going to do it. And what we've got to understand is we can't concern ourselves. Well, can I do this? Do I have the ability to do this? Am I trained up enough to do it? Don't worry about it. Just chase after God. He trains the call. He'll get you to where you need to be there. Okay? And you just worry about that. And we can't worry about those things. We've got to concern ourselves with the instructions that he's given us. We need to concern ourselves with the call that we receive from him. Because we can't concern ourselves if I'm strong enough or if I'm able to do this calling. He'll make us able. He'll make you able. Okay? And he's going to teach you. Because here Andrew gives this pessimistic statement of what is this for so many? He was instructed by Jesus to do something, to go get them something to eat. That's what he was that's what he should be concerning himself with, is doing that. And we also need to consider who is feeding you. You need to consider that. So in verse 10, Jesus says to his disciples, "Make the people sit down." You know, to me, I can almost hear the frustration in Jesus' voice. You know, he's already had Philip say, "Well, we ain't got enough money to buy these folks nothing." And then he's got Andrew said, "We don't have enough food to give them." I tell you what, just have them sit down. That's what it kind of sounds like to me, like that maybe Jesus is saying. I tell you what, you just tell them to sit down. Make them sit down. And I mean, I could just hear his frustration in his voice. Because, you know, if you read the Bible enough, Jesus pops off at the disciples pretty regularly about one thing or another. You know, and he kind of gets on to them. But what he's trying to do here, he's trying to teach the disciples. And they just don't get the lesson here. But I tell you, they're about to. They're about to get the lesson here. Because we've just got to consider who is feeding us. The men numbered about 5,000. And then according to Matthew, we read in 14:21, chapter 14, verse 21 of Matthew, about the women and the children. So the total could have been as many as 15,000. And they're about to feed all of them. What? 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They're about to feed them all. And we've got to consider who's doing the feeding. It's not us. Look, I cannot do anything apart from Jesus Christ. You cannot do anything apart from Jesus Christ. So when he calls us and tells us to do something, let's not concern ourselves with that. Let's just say, you know what? I need to be faithful to Jesus. I need to be faithful to God. I need to be faithful to his calling, and I need to do that. That's what I need to do. And we don't have to concern ourselves with that because he's going to take care of that. You know, I'll tell you, when Dan and I first started praying about moving up here, I was like, "Where are we going to live?" Well, God took care of that, didn't he? Because I'll tell you, the first time we come up here, we drove down the road and saw a house right next to Miss Keener's house. And we said, "Oh, that's a nice place. It's for sale." "Oh my goodness, $750,000. We can't do that." But you don't need to concern yourselves with that. Okay? We don't need to concern ourselves with that. When we're looking to be fed by the Master, we need to be concerned about what he's calling us to do. And we need to just listen to that, and we need to do that. When we're looking to be fed by the Master, we need to concentrate on what he says. We just need to listen to what he says, and we just need to do it. And we need to do it now. When we're looking to be fed by the Master, we need to concern ourselves with his instructions, not ours. We need to concern ourselves with his instructions, not figure out on our own or question how he's going to do the work. We just need to be fed by the way that he tells us to do his work. We just need to be fed by that. We need to consider who's feeding us. If Jesus is in charge, then what do we got to worry about? You know, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" That's all I need. If God, and I'll tell you this, if God is directing you to do something, you feel, if you hear that still small voice of God trying to tell you to do something, then you just need to answer it. Let me tell you this week, let me tell you what happened Friday. You know who the still small voice was on Friday? It was Laura. She calls up here to the church and tells me, Brother Jay, there's some guy walking up 411. And he may stop at the church. So I got in the truck and I drove down there to meet him. So if nothing else. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, he had some issues. And I gave him water because that's what we got to do. We got to love others, right? And he didn't want to ride with me. And there were some other things going on. But that sometimes you just got to answer that. You know, the still small voice, it may be one of y'all. It may be me saying, hey, you need to do something else. You know, and y'all might get mad. But that's the way it happens. Sometimes that's how God speaks to us, is through our brothers and sisters, right? He speaks to us. We need to listen to that. And we need to follow up with that. So, Laura was God's small, still small voice this week. She just gave me the thumbs up. So, we just need to consider who's feeding us. And then, We need to, because if God is for us, who can be against us? We just can't be fearful of what God is telling us to do. And then we need to consider the one that's doing the feeding and be fed by the bread of life. Because Jesus is the bread of life. Okay, so the next question, I've ran a little longer with that. We're going to get through, okay? So you've got, after asking yourself, are you fed? I want to ask you, are you fragmented? So I think this is important. I think there's a lesson in this. This may be something somebody needs to hear today. Because this is, so in verse 12, it says, so when they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. So how about this miracle that Jesus does? He feeds these people, over 5,000 people. He feeds them with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And then afterwards they picked up 12 baskets full of the fragments. I want you to picture something. Have you ever been to a football game? I'm not talking about a high school football game, but in like a big stadium football game. Where after the game's over, have you ever seen what the stadium looks like? It's just covered with old pieces of food and paper. How about you go to an arena, to a concert, or at the movie theater? Everybody been to the movie theater, right? The whole floor is covered with popcorn, right? And then little pieces of candy and all this stuff. And you always have those few people that come in, they gotta start picking up everything, right? They gotta start cleaning it up. And I want you to imagine this, the view here. It's in this open field covered with grass, and the 12 disciples are coming in, and Jesus directs them to pick up every fragment. And they're going through, and they're picking it all up, but they're picking up everything. These 12 people, these 12 men just roaming around and placing everything carefully in a basket. Let me ask you this. What kind of food would merit that much attention? I mean, do we go around after a concert or something and pick up little bitty pieces of pizza and put them in a bag so we can give them to somebody else? So what kind of food would merit this much attention? They picked up every last scrap of food, placed it carefully in a basket. What kind of host would be so meticulous as to tell somebody to pick up all of this, let's collect it all up and keep it, you know, in case we need it? I'll tell you, the kind of food that would merit that much of attention are these leftovers that are to the point of abundance, this filling that's created by God. Now, you're probably thinking, Jay, what are you talking about? I don't understand what you got. You see, Jesus' instructions to his disciples to gather them up is just like maybe somebody in here today. Maybe right now you feel fragmented. Like you've been left off or tossed to the side, like a leftover. I want to tell you right now, your God still cares for you. He still loves you. And what He wants to do this morning is He wants to pick you up and put you back together. You know, maybe it's been a rough week. Maybe it's been a rough year. I don't know. But maybe you feel fragmented. Jesus' care and attention for these fragments and these leftovers of bread and fish, it gives us a word of good news that He cares like that. He cares for us exactly the same. If He cares for a bunch of little crumbs of bread and pieces of fish, imagine how much He cares for you. And those of us that are feeling like leftovers and like you're casted out and forgotten, you just need to know something. If you feel broken, like this bread, and you feel broken and torn apart, maybe you feel fragmented and broken by, I don't know, by too many commitments or by things that have been going on in your life, the demands of your time, your energy. Maybe you've had some disagreements or issues with your family or your friends, and all of that's just broken you. Maybe you feel forgotten or overlooked or cast aside like these fragments, these disciples are picking up. Maybe as you sit here this morning, you were once filled, but now you're empty. You know, Jesus wants to continue to fill you. He wants to continue to fill you, and I've got good news for you. He hadn't forgotten you. He's ready to pick you up, and He's ready to fill you up again. You know, I at Cracker Barrel Friday night with my parents. I went to Prattville because a friend of mine passed last week, and his funeral was yesterday. So I went to Prattville Saturday night. Had supper with my parents, and I always use, I've used before as a sermon illustration, how you go to Cracker Barrel, and every time your glass gets a little empty of tea, they just fill it right back up. I told the waitress about that when she was filling up my tea glass. I said, I use that as a sermon illustration sometimes. But He's ready to just continue to fill you back up. I mean, do you feel lost? If you feel lost, I want you to hear His good news. Jesus gathers up the fragments. He binds us all together. In the cross, Jesus' arms are open and He draws everyone into Himself. And you see in the body of Christ, we're all made one. We're not fragmented anymore. We're no longer fragments. We're no longer cut off. But we're all together and we're all gathered in by Him. And you need to understand this, you're never too far from God's love. Never. So if you're fragmented, you just need to come to Him. Everybody, you just need to allow Him to gather you in and draw Him into yourself and become just be filled by the bread of life. Last question. Are you filled? After feeding the multitude, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. This is when the disciples were caught in the storm in the boat, and Jesus walked across the water. And we read about that in John 6:15 through 21. We're not going to cover that this morning, but we've all heard about Jesus walking across the water, which was another miracle that He conducted. But the next day, the people were on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and they looked for Jesus, but they couldn't find Him. So they went to Capernaum, and they found Him there. And when they found Him, they asked, "When did He leave and come here?" And so when we're talking about are you filled, you got to ask, why are you filled? So Jesus says in verse 26, He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek Me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. So Jesus is charging the people with caring only about having full stomachs rather than about the significance of the signs. And so that begs to ask the question this: how do we apply that? What does that mean? Why do you come to church? Why do you come to church? I mean, is it a social event for you? Is it, do you come to be seen and to see and be seen? Do you come to share and participate in the local gossip? Do you come to fill your personal need to be in charge of something or to be a part of the club? Or do you come here to worship the one true living God? Do you come to learn and to share the good news of Jesus with others? Do you come to fellowship and surround yourself with other believers to encourage them and for them to encourage you? Do you come to be filled spiritually and not just physically? So why are you filled? How are you filled? In verse 27, it says, Jesus says, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him. Look, acceptance of Christ means accepting Him as the bread of life. It's accepting the Father's declaration that He is the Son of Man and can provide life's greatest need. You know what that greatest need is? Eternal life. That's what that greatest need is. And when we how do we receive eternal life? By repentance, by surrender to Jesus Christ, so that we can receive that eternal life that can only be given by Him. Jesus says this. He says in 6:47 through 48, it says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life, and I am the bread of life." So only by believing, only by responding to Jesus Christ can we be saved. That's the only way we can be saved. So go back through these questions again. Are you being fed? You can only be fed by the bread of life. Who is the bread of life? Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can feed you. You've got to surrender your life to Him, church. You've got to surrender your life to Him. Those of you who are here today, you're not a member of the church. You're not a member of the body. You can be today by surrendering your life to Him, by giving up your sin and those things that you, chasing down those things of the world and start chasing down Jesus Christ. So I'm asking you, are you being fed? I'm asking you, are you fragmented? If you're fragmented, you can be collected back together again. You can be collected back together again with the bread of life. And you can be filled by Him. And then lastly, are you filled? How do we become filled? We have to believe in Him and be filled with the bread of life. That's the only thing that can fill you. So how do we receive the bread of life? Well, we've got to realize that God's the only one who can save us. We've got to realize that Jesus Christ is the only way we can receive true salvation. Jesus Christ is the only one who can give us eternal life. We've got to realize that. We've got to recognize that He is the only one who can be our Savior. And we've got to repent. We've got to repent of our sin. And like we said before, repentance, that's not just saying, "Yep, you're right, I did, it's my fault." It's saying, "Yep, I did it, it's my fault, and I'm not going to do it again. I'm moving away from it. I want to chase after You, God." And then we need to receive the Holy Spirit. We need to receive Him and let Him make us whole. That way we're not fragmented. That way He can put us together. He can collect us together.
We just need to chase after Him, church. We need to seek the bread of life. I am the bread of life. That's what Jesus says. He says, no one can come to the Father except by me. So we need to seek after Him and give everything to Him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Do you feel fragmented? Do you feel like you've been cast off? You've been cast to the side? Look, Jesus wants to collect you together. He wants to feed you the bread of life. And He wants to make you whole. So this morning, let's just do that. Let's give up the way we've been living and start living for Him. You know, you've been feeding yourself with so much stuff that's of the world, and you just never full. You don't ever feel whole. You're doing these things that God has not called you to do, and He just has such a better plan for you. He wants to give you life. So this morning, if you don't know Jesus, you can know Him right now. If you don't know Jesus, you can pray this prayer. You can say, God, I'm a sinner. But I don't want to be anymore. I confess my sin to You. I repent of my sin and I want to give my life to You. I thank You for dying on the cross for my sin, for being the ultimate sacrifice. And I give up. I don't want to live for myself anymore. I want to live only for You. I believe You, Jesus, to be the only way to receive eternal life. I believe You, Jesus, to be the only way to live in paradise. So God, forgive me of my sin right now and save me. For us in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Keep your heads bowed. Because that's not the only one we're talking to this morning. Those who are lost, they need the bread of life. But some of you, you've just moved away from Christ. You're fragmented, not because you've been cast off, but because you've moved away from God. You know what? You can make a decision today too. You can pray, Father God, I'm so sorry for drifting away from You. And God, starting today, I want a do-over. God, starting today, I want to go back to living for You. I know that You saved me, but I have not been close to You for a while. So, Father, I ask You to draw me back into You. I ask You, Jesus, to feed me the bread of life. And I rededicate my life to You. Look at me. If you prayed one of those prayers this morning, why don't we announce it to the church and announce it to God today? Let's stand and let's sing.